Hello?
Lachi.
Hey, Pastor.
God bless you. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. God bless you, too. Doing good. Doing good.
Doing good?
Yes, sir.
How good are you doing? Not singing yet.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, every single day, just really learning a lot. Feeling the difference when you pray more. The more you pray, the more you worship, the more you spend time with God, the more you invite Him into your everyday choices and your everyday, you know, things like, you know, asking for like protection and, you know, saying, you know, Heavenly Father, you know, please help me, you know, give me wisdom. You know, one of the big things I always ask for is vigilance and wisdom. Vigilance for my surroundings and the people that I'm around, and wisdom, and, you know, so that I can handle the things around me, you know, verbally, emotionally, and things like that. So just seeing, like, what they mean by, you know, prayer. Like, prayer, like, I literally feel things, like, in my opinion, or what I feel internally, leave out of me. You know, I feel these things. I feel clean. I feel like, you know, I can move forward, you know, and just constantly coming back, you know, like repetition, you know, because in the Old Testament, they had to do a lot of, you know, certain, you know, rituals and things to cleanse yourself, you know, to be in the presence of the Lord. And, you know, when we sin, you know, we take a step back from God. He'll never forsake us. He's always going to be there. But we have to continue to, you know, renew our minds every day, cleanse ourselves every single day from the dirt and the grime that we get walking outside, you know, around people who don't follow the Lord, around people who don't realize the spiritual realm, around people that don't understand that. So it's like we have to continue to cleanse ourselves so that we can grow more, to get to the point where, you know, He grows us to that point where we can have that, you know, sustainability, the constant sustainability. And being in His presence and not falling down so much, but, you know, being so used to it where we stay in that spot instead of stumbling, you know, so.
Amen. I love that. And what I think you're experiencing is what takes place in Galatians 15, in Galatians 5, 16th chapter, 16th verse. And it is the place where Paul talks about, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's a very important scripture, because every single day that we're amongst people, we're amongst multiple types of spirits, right? They don't necessarily have to be bad people that, you know, I don't think that there's really such a thing as a bad person. I think there's people with bad things on them.
Yeah,
bad
absolutely.
Spirits that they have ingested over time, and you know, and accepted as being normal, and so ultimately you must cleanse daily. That's why prayer should be ongoing. Prayer is not a thing that you do like early in the morning, late at night. Prayer is a thing you do all through the day until the end of the night, because you don't have to have a specific point, place, and time to pray. You need to have a mindset of prayer all through your day. You know, every time you encounter something that sort of kind of throws you off, that's a moment that God is saying, okay, reach out to me right now. Right?
Yes,
that's affecting
absolutely.
You. It's making an imprint, and you need to protect yourself against that. So I thank you for sharing that. That was powerful. Let me grab just a minute here. We have a Richard Haling, I think I'm saying.
Grandfather.
that's Pops. How you doing?
Good.
Richard?
Yes, I'm good.
Good. How's the world treating you?
Good.
How are you treating the world?
I'm praying for it.
Yeah, talk about that for a minute, Richard. How's your week going? And when you say you're praying for it, what does the Lord have on your heart right around this time?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm praying, like, for our nation and for the people in Iran.
Yes, sir.
Because of all death toll going on in Iran, and I'm praying for our nation, for God to forgive her sins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's powerful. And I think that that's something that we as the body should be doing consistently as well. As often as we can, we should be lifting up our leadership. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Richard. You said you do?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I'm going to ask you what kind of prayer you do. But before I do that, let me acknowledge the rest of our guests. Sister Angela, God bless you. How are you?
Blessed. How are you doing, Dad?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Richard would say, Richard spoke too when you said Dad. He didn't know he was going on. You talking to me. That's what happens when you got a spiritual father and a biological and you know, all that good stuff. You're fortunate to have that.
Both dads.
Yeah, both dads. There you go. Brother DeJuan, God bless you. How are you?
Pretty good.
God bless you.
I'm blessed. Bless y'all too. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, okay. Praise the Lord. So let me go back to Richard now. So Richard, I want to ask you what you pray, but how do you pray? How frequently do you pray when it comes down to what you see and what unctions you to pray the most? What pushes you? What do you see that makes you say, oh my God, we need to do something?
Oh, I pray from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed. I'm in a spirit of prayer.
Mm.
And I like to pray for our nation because I'm concerned that judgment is coming on our nation.
Mm. Can you explain when you say you're afraid the judgment is coming on the nation? Why would judgment come? What do you think the judgment is about?
Well, our society is so messed up.
Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate?
Like with gay marriage,
mm-hmm.
Letting children transgender.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the politicians are way on the left side.
When you say left side, Richard, what do you mean by that? Because you know we all hear when we watch the news,
homosexual marriage
and
transgenderism and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're speaking specifically to gay marriage, transgenderism, and you believe that that's what the judgment might be about?
Well, we've also walked away from the Lord as a nation.
Ah, okay. Okay. You can't elaborate?
No.
Okay.
I don't know how to
All
put
right.
it in the words.
Okay. All right. Sister Angela.
Yes, sir.
How's your week and where does the Lord have you at right now?
So my week is very, very good. As everybody knows, I have been blessed with some more joy in the home. Me and my husband and my kids have been really enjoying the new baby and just having grandbabies here and being able to pray with them and pour into them and just let my life speak to my grandchildren and stuff like that. And the Lord has me in an area of deep concern. My walk has been spectacular, but I have been seeing where God has been showing me a lot of people, family-wise, church-wise, people that I know in dreams and stuff like that. And I know I have a prophetic gift, and I know that is what it's going to be sometimes, and it's not going to always be the peaches and cream and lilies and unicorns mm-hmm. and all that other stuff. I do understand that. But also to paying attention to where I eat as far as receiving the word of God and watching the leadership that I allow in my life, because I have to make sure that I am getting sound doctrine, because a lot of times when I'm studying for myself, I have that light bulb moment and I'm like, wait a minute, that's not what they said at the church when I was going there, you know. It's different. It's not supposed to be that way and all that. And then I get really frustrated. And so I just want to make sure that I am walking in the kingdom of God here on earth. Kingdom of God is peace, love, joy, happiness, protection, and all of that. And that's what I want to do, is to walk in the kingdom of God here on earth. So I have to make sure I have sound doctrine and sound teacher. So that's where I am in my walk. So.
And you took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So,
amen.
Yeah, and it's very important, because, you know, if the Lord is on his way home, he's done turned the corner, right?
Yeah.
And I think, Richard, you bring up, Richard brings up a good point. You know, is America being judged, right? Is the world being judged? And I agree. I think it is. In fact, it should be. I think that we're not looking at, you know, as the scientists say, global warming.
Mm-hmm.
What we're witnessing is a global warning. God is tired.
Yes.
He's given more grace than grace should be given.
Yes.
And people still yet turn from truth. They turn from holiness. They turn from decency. They turn from moral value, all for selfish personal growth and personal gain. And they don't look at the people around them and recognize, while I'm sitting here eating steak and lobster, there's a person just around the corner that hasn't eaten in days. And they feel like, well, that's his fault.
Yes.
They don't look at the system and say, no, the system created some of this. And God created me to overt and overrule the system, and that's what the kingdom of heaven is about. The kingdom is about overruling the democracy, not overrunning it, not going to war with it in a physical sense, but being at war with it in a spiritual sense, because the reason we have eyes to see. There's a reason why when you drive down the street, you see things and they bother you. Other people ride down the street, they see things and they laugh at them.
Yes.
There's a reason that God has filled you with compassion. There's a reason he's filled you with grace, love, mercy. There's a reason that he's filled you with this disdain for what Satan does to people. And so, you know, this is our awakening time. When it comes down to the people of God, that's why the Bible says in all of creation, all of it, is waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. The world is waiting for us to wake up and to take our prospective place. And does that mean that we're supposed to be in government? No. Does that mean we're supposed to be presidents? And no. But does it mean that we're supposed to be leaders in circumstances that we can lead from Christ-like morality? The answer is yes. And I think that's why you're called to be the head.
The tail.
And not the tail.
Hey,
right?
Pastor?
Yes, sir.
There's something kind of just on me right now. I just want to say, I'm not trying to, you know, shoot anybody's stuff down, but it's just really hard for me to hear when someone says, you know, bring God back into America. I can't agree with that on the stance, where I feel like America has been handed over a long time ago, because it's never really been present here, in my opinion. So it's just like when I hear a lot of these Christian channels or the radio stations I listen to when I'm at work, you know, talk about, you know, let's get back to our Christian roots. And I'm just like, and being someone, you know me, Pastor, you know my brain, you know what I used to, you know, dig deep into, you know, I don't know. It's just, I feel like we got to keep it, you know, like 100 when it comes to talking about this country. Yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff, but America's been bad since the beginning. Like, in my opinion, I feel like it's been handed over a long time ago due to, you know, you see the gay marriages, the presidents, you know, going completely against the Bible. There's never really been a, you know, there's people here that believe in Christ. There's people here that have, you know, done monumental things, absolutely. But down to just the whole of America, is just, it's the morals of America in general has never been Christian, has never been people walking like Christ, has been people that have been justifying their actions with Christ, because everybody loves Jesus until you define him. So I don't know. It's just like when I hear stuff like that, it kind of like makes me go the other way and stuff like that, because it ain't never really been like America, in my opinion, has been handed over when it comes to that. So definitely needs our prayer. But at the same time, too, it's just like we can't sit there and be like, oh, yeah, you know, it was here. You know, we did have it together. We were followers of Christ. We did do it all right.
So let's go to that point. Sister Tara, God bless you. Thank you for joining.
Thank you.
Yeah. I saw your post. You said, man, since I've been on this God walk, it's getting so good.
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, yes.
Amen.
I'm dedicated to it.
Hallelujah. So we're going to have opening prayer. It's just at 5:44. We're going to have our opening prayer. We're going to be reading from the book of 2 Corinthians. Okay. We were in chapter 11 last week, and we're going to move in through and finish up chapter 11. I think we left off at about verse 15 last week. I want to start with opening prayer, and then we'll dig into some things, because Latif made some good points, and I want to go and kind of deal with some of those points because I've studied them. And I tried to get a clear understanding of some of the things that we were just discussing. Has America ever been a godly nation? That was kind of what he was talking about.
Anyway, I remember when I was in grade school, we used to pray before class. That was in a public school. Now I hear teachers and coaches are being arrested for praying for football games and stuff.
Absolutely correct. All of that is going on. We're going to discuss that in just about a moment. But I'm going to ask Sister Angela, Brother Tony, Tony Irby, God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Yes, God bless you.
Yes, sir. So let's have opening prayer. Sister Angela, would you be kind enough to open us up in prayer, please?
Why? I knew you were going to call on me, but okay. I just knew it. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the gathering of the saints over this line, Father God. Father God, you said where there are two or more gathered in your name, you are in the midst of us, and we stand upon your mighty word right now. Father God, I thank you for the word that is about to go forth. Let it do its job in each of our hearts. Our hearts, mind, body, and soul, Father God.
Yes,
Father God, we are yearning for your word. Please give us a word on this day, Father God. Father God, we thank you for everything that you have done and everything that you are about to do. And we thank you for each and every person on this line tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, we ask you to bless our pastor, Father God. Use him abundantly in this service tonight, Father God, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. And we thank you for his wife and his beautiful family, Father God. We thank you for the time that he takes out for his flock, in the
thank
name
you,
of Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen and amen.
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 Say amen, somebody. Before we get started, I'm going to ask us to do something that every now and then I ask. And I want us to rise to the spirit of Christ that lives in us, because the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, all things pass away, all things are made new. And then the Bible says in St. John 14:26 that the Holy Spirit that God sent in Jesus' stead, he is meant to abide in us and teach us all things, whatsoever thing he has spoken. And that's an important scripture, because a lot of times when we read the Bible, we read it as men, and we get out of it what men get. Mm-hmm. But the Holy Ghost is the teacher. And so when you don't ask the Holy Ghost to explain what you're reading, you're left to your own discernment of what you read. And you can only discern from where you know. I want to make sure that that's clear to us. You can only discern from what you know. The Holy Ghost discerns from what he knows. He knows all things because he was there in the beginning. He's going to be here in the end. When it's all said and done, he'll still be here, right? And so the Holy Ghost has knowledge that's millions of years old. I'm 72, and my knowledge is only 72 years old, which is why without the Holy Ghost, I'm rarely able to defeat Satan if I don't have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And if I don't have the Holy Ghost, and I don't rely on the Holy Ghost's instructions, his teaching, I'm not praying and talking to him, then I'm privy to using my own thoughts and my own mind, because I can only access what I know. Does that make sense? So I'm going to go back to something that Latif said, and I want us to get this. So Latif asked the question, has America ever been holy? Has America ever been, you know, righteous? And if you know your history, and I'm so sad that Richard just popped out because he didn't stay long enough to hear what was getting ready to be said, because this is going to be very important. So, and that's just also a lesson. Say it again.
He said he had to go to a Bible study with the kids or something around six something. He told me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
But I do wish he could have definitely stayed.
Mm-hmm, because I think he would have loved to hear this. So America, the way it is today, is not how it was foundationed. We all know that because, first off, you have to be able to separate lie from truth. Lie from truth. History teaches a lot of lies. Research finds truth. History will give you, there's an old saying, the people that win the war write the history. It's an old saying. Whoever wins the war is the one who writes the history of it, and they're going to taint it in their favor. Got that? So let's go back to the beginning in the early 1500s. So we've been told Christopher Columbus discovered America.
Yes.
That's our teaching. That's our raising. That's our social studies, right? Everybody agree to that?
Yes, sir. Agreed.
All right. I want you to rise to the spirit of Christ that lives in you. First say that. I rise.
Arise.
Arise.
To the spirit of Christ.
The spirit of Christ. Spirit of Christ.
It lives in me. Say it again. I arise.
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 To the spirit of Christ.
To the spirit of Christ.
Amen. All right. So there we go. We're listening in the Holy Ghost now, right? Praise the Lord. So now let's go back. So the first people that literally came here was actually some Africans. They found their way here long before Christopher Columbus ever did. The second group that came was Leif Erikson, but they didn't want to name it after Swedish or Norwegian. And so the next group that comes is Spain, and that's Christopher Columbus, 1492. Right? Got that?
Mm-hmm.
After Christopher discovers it, Christopher does something that the other groups didn't do. He creates a map, how to get here. Christopher Columbus was a discoverer. He was a explorer. So he had map skills, oceanic skills, and he then wrote ways for people to get here. And the first group of people that started coming here were pilgrims. And the reason that the pilgrims were coming here from England is they were escaping the persecution of the crown. Because these were people who were literally living from their Bible. The pilgrims and the Quakers. Pilgrims and Quakers. Those are the first groups that came here. And they came here with so much love from God and so much of the love of God that the Indians actually accepted them and then relaxed. They came in, and these Indians saw these loving, caring, kind people and said, these are good people. And they became accepted amongst the tribes, and they began to migrate through the Americas, and they began to intermix with these tribes, not sexually, not through marriage, but just through ministry and trying to share with them God and, you know, talking to them about the things they believed in and the things that the Pilgrims and the Quakers believed in. However, behind the Pilgrim and the Quakers came the thieves, the robbers, the crooks, and the folks that came here and saw the resources of the land and realized how much wealth they could create in furs and textiles, which is clothing, cotton. They saw all of these things and realized, man, if we can control this, we can make millions of dollars. And so because the Indians had been lulled to sleep by the first group of people, the people of God, then the assumption is when you see other people like these people, they're the same people. They're going to be the same way. And they weren't. So there was a point when America had people in it who loved the Lord and whose responsibility it was to carry the message of the Lord to other people. The problem is, there also, how many of us know that when you love the Lord and you really allow yourself to convert, the first part of your conversion is a sheep. The first portion of the conversion, you become a sheep. You become softer. You become kinder. You become more merciful. You become more willing to help. You become selfless instead of selfish. You become a person that's willing to go beyond where carnal people will go in order to make sure your neighbor is okay, your family's okay. So the first part of the conversion is sheep. And because the Pilgrims still had sheep in them, because after you stay in the Lord, and I want you to hear this really, really clearly, after you've been in the Lord for a period of time, He begins to balance the sheep with the lion. That's why He's the lamb slain before time, but He's also the Lion of Judah. He had a balance. The first two children on the earth, according to the Bible, was Cain and Abel, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Cain slew his brother Abel. Abel was a sheep. He did everything that God told him. Cain was a jealous, envious person who saw that God had favor on his brother, got mad about it, and slew his brother. Right?
Yes, sir.
We know our Bible, right? All right, then watch what I'm going to say to you. Over a period of time, you begin to be able to balance both your Cain and your Abel.
Yeah, wow.
Because you cannot live as a sheep and not have a little bit of lion left, because other than that, you just get ran over, walked over. Yes. You feel like a floor rug because people just use you because they can see the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody listening?
Yes, sir. Amen.
And so it becomes imperative for me to begin to grow up. This is why Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I spake as a child. I understood things like a child. But when I became a man, I got to put away those childish things. So Paul became balanced. That's who we're reading about tonight in the 11th chapter. We're reading about Paul. Paul becomes balanced, and he becomes balanced in such a way that you're going to see it. In fact, I got a title for tonight's reading, and I think what that title should be is, if I'm going to glory about anything, I should glory about what I've been through and not what God used me to do. We're going to talk about that tonight, right? If I'm going to glory about anything, if I got anything to brag about, it's what God has brought me through. Not how many people I laid hands on. not mm-hmm. how many miracles I wrought in the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. not how good of a person I am and why people treat me so bad, but how I have gotten through with the power of God. And every time something happens, God shows up to bring me out of it. And that's what Paul's going to talk about. We're going to read from the 11th chapter. We're going to start at the 16th verse. Do I have any readers?
I can do it.
You can do it? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's get started. Let's start at 11:16.
Okay,
and I know you have an NIV, right?
Yeah. It's chapter mm-hmm. 10.
Chapter 11.
Right? Oh, chapter 11.
Verse 16.
Verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
He said 16?
Mm-hmm.
It says, Paul's many trials. Again, I say, don't think that I am a fool to talk like this. But even if you do, listen to me as you would to a foolish person. While I also boast a little, such boasting is not from the Lord, so I am acting like a fool. And since others boast about their human achievements, I will too. After all, you think you are so wise, but you enjoy putting up with fools. You put up with it when someone enslaves you, takes everything you have, takes advantage of you, takes control of everything, mm-hmm. slaps you in the face. Keep reading.
Sheep. Yep.
Okay. I am ashamed to say that we've been too weak to do that. But whatever they dare to boast about, I'm talking like a fool again. I dare to boast about it too. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder. Been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews as well as Gentiles. I have faced dangers in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced dangers from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked
Wait a
hard.
Minute. What yeah, did but, you just say? Say that part again.
And I have faced
danger from men who what?
And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not.
All right.
You read it?
mm-hmm.
I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray? And I do not burn with anger. If I must boast, I would rather boast. If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. God the Father, mm-hmm. our Lord Jesus, who is worthy of eternal praise, knows I am not lying. When I was in Damascus, the governor under King Aretas kept guards at the city gates to catch me. I had to be lowered in a basket through a window in the city wall to escape from him.
Amen. Stay right there. Did everybody hear that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Paul is saying, now keep in mind who this man is, right? When you go to Acts, the 9th or 10th chapter, Paul is coming out of just off of one of the shipwrecks that he's talking about in the scripture. And he goes to an island called Melita, which is called Malta today. He goes to an island on Melita. He drifts over to the island. He goes there, and there's a bunch of barbarians there, some folks that don't, you know, they're not civilized people per se. and he's there, and they're making fires to help the people that have been shipwrecked, that have come out of the sea, to get them warm. Paul goes to grab some kindling because he's going over to help them help himself. So he goes and grabs some wood to put on the fire. He gets bit by a snake. Snake bite. The people that are looking at him look at him and go, "Ooh, this man escaped the sea, but his karma is on him." And so he just got bit, so they're sitting there waiting for him to die. Paul shakes the snake off his hand and sits down and commences to have a conversation with him while the people are sitting there waiting for him to die. This is important because there's some things that you've been through should have killed you, but God kept you.
Yes.
Amen. This is the same man, Paul, who literally, when he went and preached inside of the synagogue, he preached so long, a man fell asleep in the window, falls out, and dies. Paul goes and gets the dead man, lays himself prostrate over the dead man, and begins to pray, and the man comes back to life. You don't see Paul bragging about none of that. Paul's done laid hands on the sick. The sick have been healed. The dead have been raised. He's done miracles on top of miracles. And he's sitting there telling folk, "I ain't boasting on that. I'm boasting on what God brought me through." And so we were preaching and teaching on this on Sunday, and I told people, you know, Paul spent like a whole day and a half in the water. That's part of what he read. I want to read it again. I want you to listen to it real good in the King James Version. I'm starting at verse 16. Please listen to it in the spirit. This is what he says. He says, verse 16, "I say again, let no man think that I'm a fool. If otherwise, even as a fool, you should receive me, that I can boast just a little, that the things which I speak it not after the Lord, but as if it were just foolishness in this confidence of knowing who I am and what he's done in me, and I'm going to boast about that part. Not what I did for him, what he did for me. Seeing that many glory after their own flesh, well, I'm going to glory a little bit too. Verse 19, for you suffer fools gladly. You hang around with them. You let them talk to you. You let them speak into your life. You let foolish people tell you how you should behave, what you should do. And how you know they're foolish is because you did it and nothing came from it. They told you all kind of stuff that you listened to, you accepted it, and you did it. You thought they were right. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about our life experience, the things that we grew up doing, the people that became the voices in our ear, the people that became our counsel, the people that became our guides and our guidance and our teachers and our instructors. And we were listening to them, folks, and getting all kind of hell out of their input. And Paul is just reminding them, you listen to a bunch of fools, so if you're going to call me a fool, let me be a fool, but you need to hear what I'm saying. That's all he's doing. He says, for you suffer, verse 20, for you suffer if a man brought you into bondage, and if a man ended up devouring you and ate you up, if a man took from you, if a man exalted himself, if a man smite you on the face, if he slapped you around a little bit. He said, I speak as concerning that reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit what wheresoever any of us is bold. He said, I sound foolish, don't I? He said, I'm bold though right now. Verse 22. Are they Jews, Hebrews, right? The folks that you were listening to? He said, well, I'm one too. That's the equivalent to saying, are they all believers that talk to you? Well, I'm a believer too. But I will prove what my belief has done where they can't prove it. That's what he's talking about, right? Are they Hebrews? Well, so am I. Are they Hebrew Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? I am too. Are they the ministers of Christ? Now I'm talking like a fool. Because I'm a lot more than that. In labor, in my work, I've worked way more abundant. In stripes, getting beaten, I took that stuff above measure. They haven't done that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
In prisons, I was in it more frequent.
Mm-hmm.
I had experiences that almost killed me. Mm-hmm. Of the Jews, my own people. Now watch where I'm getting ready to go. I want you to hear this. 90% of your problems came from your own people, not from America.
Mm.
Let me shake up the room a little bit.
Mm.
We didn't grow up with a President Trump. You didn't grow up next door to him. Praise the Lord. We didn't grow up next door to, Bill Gates. You didn't grow up next to the people that are the politicians of today. You grew up around Homeboy, JoJo, Mimi, Mookie, Pookie, Swookie, and Juki. Can we talk for a little bit?
Yes, please.
Yes.
And it was Ookie, Wookie, Pookie, and Smookie, and Juki that were giving you all the instructions that made you act a fool. 90% of our problems came from people who were not educated enough in the Bible to be able to give us any guidance. However, the worst thing about our lives is that we were less educated than them, and that's how they became our counsel. So what am I saying? I'm saying you will have to stop taking counsel from fools and start taking counsel from wisdom, which is the Bible. And how do I know that the Bible is wisdom? How do I know that? Well, it's real simple. That's why the Lord says, try me and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you won't have room enough to receive.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true.
See, I can't read the Bible and get better. I have to live the Bible to see if it works. Oh, Lord God, I know somebody heard me. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Right there. And it's just like what you said last time, because it really spoke to me at the last Bible study we had. You were like, when you obey the Lord, you know, you obey the principles and stuff like that, that favor that you get is from that. So like when you're out there obeying the Lord, that's when that favor starts to come towards you, because you're the light out there. You're the light of the world. And then people, that favor gravitates towards you because of that. And I'm just like, right there, just like kind of like blew my mind. So I was like, that's why, because I noticed that, you know, I won't talk about it fully, but, you know, I noticed that the more obedient I am, the more I see, you know, and not that I'm trying to get like a transaction from God. It's more off of just like understanding his reverence and trying to, you know, obey because of everything and who he is as God and, you know, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, everything he's done, you know, so it's more off of just like that. Like, I want to please you. I want to do this. I don't want to live the same life I had. And then just doing that by default on its own is just like, it just comes, you know, that favor just comes from, you know, the people around you and stuff because they see that.
Hallelujah. And remember we were talking last week and I was sharing as an example, I said, Brother Irby, you know, there's tons of people out there that are referees. Kid falls out in the gym. The other referees grab the phone. They call 911. What happens if Brother Irby walks up and says, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this thing. In the name of Jesus, you rise. See, because behavior produces favor. Behavior is what produces favor. If I go into, just take this as a thought. If I go into, and I want you, I mean, really, let's be serious right now. If I go into a building, I'm looking for a job, and I walk in there with my pants down beneath my behind, and I walk in with my dreads, my look, my thing, because I'm cultural, and I go into the place, and the people say, well, here's your application, fill it out, Mr. Monroe, and I go, man, I don't feel like messing with that junk.
I just came here for an interview. Y'all hiring or not?
Oh, man, no.
Did I create any favor?
No.
But what happens if I walk in and I've got all of the appearance of godliness, all of the principles of holiness, and I walk in and say, good morning, how are you? And the person says, well, I'm great. Can I help you? Yes, I'm actually here to fill out an application. I'm looking for employment. I heard that you guys were hiring, and I think I'm a good match for your company. Oh, really? Yeah, let me get you an application. And in fact, the nicer you are to that person, the more probable they're going to put your application on the top when it's time to get an interview in.
Yep.
Your behavior creates favor. Oh, praise the Lord, somebody.
Yes.
Behavior.
Praise Jesus.
Godly principles create godly favor.
Good.
Paul is trying to tell these folks, look, I've been through all that. I've been out in the ocean in the middle of the night. Can you imagine what that feels like to have sharks swimming around you in the middle of the night? In the ocean, and all you can trust in is God.
Oh, y'all not listening.
You ain't listening, because if you were listening, it would hit you like a ton of bricks that most of your life has been about swimming in the middle of the ocean and ain't been nothing around you but sharks, and God has kept you.
Yes.
There's some sharks that had you caught up on drugs. There's some sharks that had you caught up with this guy and that guy. There's some sharks that got you caught up with this woman and that woman. There's some sharks that said, let's go have a drink. There's some sharks that said, no, you don't need to go home, man. Let's hang out for another hour. You get home and your wife ready to put you out.
Yes.
Because the sharks were there.
Mm.
Oh,
amen.
Oh, my God.
Mm.
I used to be floating in the ocean, never realizing God has been keeping me. Because with all the things that could have happened, I'm still here.
Amen.
Anybody get this?
Yes. Yes, sir.
And Paul is teaching them, y'all listening to them folks that's bragging about who they are, claiming that they Jews, they know Jesus, they got hooked up with God. And they bragging about the things that they've done. They probably running around you should have heard me talk in tongues. Oh, I laid hands on some sick people. They got well. They were bragging, but they were bragging foolishly.
Not good.
And so I said to the people, I said, with all that time Paul was in the ocean, most people have a witness and not a witness.
Yes, witness.
Amen. And they said, well, what's a wetness? I said, well, a wetness is when all you can do is complain about what you've been through, and you ain't never gave God any glory for how he got you through. That's wetness, not witness. It's wetness, not witness. Wetness, not witness.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, I got problems at home. That's my wetness. But God has still got my family together. That's my witness.
Yes,
there's some times I want to run out the door. I don't even want to go home. I left work because I needed to get out of there, but I didn't want to go into the house because I wasn't ready for what was happening in there. But I'm still there, and that's my witness, not my witness no more. Because I started realizing God is keeping me through a thing, even while I'm going through the thing.
Yeah.
Paul is talking about that. Anybody hear what I'm saying? Listen to
the
Holy Ghost. Because many of us have had circumstances that should have killed you a long time ago.
Yes.
And you can sit around until, do you know, I think about this, do you know most people would rather talk about their wetness?
Oh, you don't know what I went through. Oh, you don't know how bad it was. You don't know what. You don't know how bad it is at home.
I had a man call me the other day, and he said, I'm just trying to figure out whether I should keep my wife or not. I said, really?
He said, yeah.
I said, okay. I said, well, what are you thinking? He said, well, I'm thinking I ought to really walk away. I said, okay. I said, you know what you're going to do when you walk away? He said, what's that? I said, you're going to show everybody how dumb you are when you make the mistake of marrying her. You will tell everybody because you chose her, right? And he started laughing because he got it. You chose that, right? That was your decision making, right? Now you're going to walk away from the decision you made and sit back and let everybody know you don't know how to make a good decision. And then you'll turn around and ask them, anybody hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm going to quit that job. Well, who asked for it? I can get it if you got elevated to another job, if you went someplace and somebody offered you a better job, but just to walk away and you're the one that asked for it, what are we doing to ourselves?
We live for ourselves.
Glory to God.
Amen.
What am I really saying about myself? And then I'm shocked, and I told the brother the same thing. I said, and then you shocked when you come home and you say we should go do this, and nobody agrees with you. And I say the reason they don't agree with you is because they've already seen you make a bunch of bad decisions.
No one.
And you ain't repented yet. Ooh, you didn't have the courage to walk in there and say, you know, I made a bad decision. I'm so sorry. No, you just want to keep making more bad decisions and can't figure out why people ain't supporting you, applauding you, clapping for you, making cake and ice cream for you. You just... He said, I get it. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Amen. Are we okay, everybody? Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Right?
Amen. Amen.
Because Paul is in this place and he's saying, if I'm going to glory about anything, if it must be, verse 30, if it must be that I need to glory, I will glory in the things which concern my shortcomings, my imperfections, my issues. I'm a glory about what God has kept me through. I ain't glorying over how many times I laid hands and how many people I prayed for. I'm not glorying about the church I go to. I'm not glorying about those things. I'm glorying at the things that God has brought me through.
Yes, he has.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
And the more we begin to understand that, the more Zion you become rather than a sheep.
Yes.
Amen.
Because if sheep want to be petted.
Petted.
But the other thing is sheep wants to be a shear.
Yeah.
You didn't hear what I said. The other thing that makes a sheep is that you got to shear them every now and then.
Yes.
Just to keep them healthy.
And
do you know that every time you go to whining, moaning, complaining, and telling people how bad it's been in your life, all somebody is sitting there doing, if they ain't filled with the Holy Ghost, is trying to figure out how to shear you.
Yep, good to know.
Oh, God. Go tell somebody how you blew all your money at the bar. And see if they don't invite you to go to the bar.
Yeah.
Tell somebody how you lost all your money in the dice game. See if they don't invite you to play some poker.
Dominoes. Yeah.
Or something that's going to get your money to come on the table. Because you just told them, I'm shearable.
Yep. Oh, man.
You just told them. I got this issue.
How to do it. Yeah.
Does this make sense?
Yes, sir.
Tell somebody how bad your life is with your wife and see if you don't end up with a man in your life trying to take your wife.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Tell your your girlfriend how bad your husband is. And see, don't you come home find her sitting there when she didn't even call you and let you know she was coming by.
Yes.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Are we getting anything tonight? Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Are we helping anybody?
Yes, indeed.
And so God is trying to teach us. It ain't about how good you think you are. It's about how good I've been in your life and got you through some things. And you should learn to glory in it. It's okay to be able to sit back and say, I got delivered from that. God did. Oh, yeah, I got delivered. I've met people in church that have sit back and tell you, oh, man, when I was out there, man, I was slinging ounces. And I'll look them right in the face and go, why are you giving Satan all that glory, man?
Yes,
Wow.
You're glorifying Satan. Mm-hmm. You're talking like you miss him. Mm-hmm.
You just get to yourself. Not godly, no words that we can think about.
And if the person had said, you know, when I was out there in the street and God showed me I was killing people, I turned from that mess. That's a witness, not a wetness.
Yeah, the witness, not a wetness.
Praise the Lord. Are we talking to anybody? I'm making sense
to anybody. Yes, we are.
I'm on the floor. And so Paul is in this place, and Paul is trying to share with them, I might sound foolish to you. This might be sound, but if I'm a fool, what you been listening to? Because I'm a fool for God. I'm a fool that's seen the power of God in my life. I've seen God move. He's kept me 3 times. Have I been shipwrecked? But he kept me. I've been beaten by my own people.
Yes, man.
But he kept me. I've been held down by some folks. Yes, sir.
Hey, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what I'm thinking is just that because Paul's faith level is so, like, you know, advanced, you know, with everything he's been through, you know, a person with a lack of faith for God would have been freaking out about the snake bite. But he's like, man, and just took it off and just kept going because he knows that God had him.
Hallelujah. Isn't it powerful and beautiful to know that God has got you?
Because
the minute we accept that God has got us, we will stop panicking over every little thing that takes place around us.
Yes.
You'll stop panicking. Let's go up. Let's go back. Let's stay in 11. Let's go up to verses 14. I want us to get this. Verse 14, because this is important. He says, "No, don't marvel at what you see, because Satan himself transformed into an angel of light."
Yes.
And that's an important scripture. It's a relevant scripture, because how many times have people come around you and they seem like the nicest, sweetest, wonderfulest people in the world, and then 6 months later, they brought all the destruction that they could.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul is trying to teach us, you need to pay attention, not to who people say they are. Do never emotionally invest in anybody, pastors, preachers, teachers, evangelists, prophets, churches. Never invest your emotions into that until you've been there long enough to see the person go through enough hell that you saw real light come out. You didn't hear that, did you? A woman should never invest herself into a man emotionally. You can go dating. You can go hanging out. You can go do all those things. You can kiss if you need to. You can cuddle if you want to. But you should not put your emotional investment in that person until you've seen them lose a loved one, until you've seen them get sick, until you've seen them broke, until you've seen them go through one of these trials that Paul is talking about. And then you begin to see the real person, because people wear masks.
Yep.
Yeah. And praise the Lord.
Amen.
People have masks. They're not purposefully there. They have been, they're there because people have learned to survive. And in order to survive in the world, you have to put on a lot of different hats, a lot of different outfits, a lot of different shoes.
Yes.
And the problem when you change clothes that often is you don't know what you should be anymore.
Yes.
Until a trial comes along, and then the real shows up.
Yes.
And if you feel with the Holy Ghost, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, anybody listening to what I'm saying, is this making sense?
Yes,
if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, if you love Jesus, no matter what the trial is, no matter what the tribulation is, no matter what the trouble is, no matter what the circumstance is, the only clothes you should put on is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That make a title for a good book, Christ in a Crisis. The only thing you should be able to put on is Christ. You should be acting so much like him that it baffles the people around you.
God, like,
I'm baffled at this brother. I just saw him go through all of this. And he's still kind. He's still decent. He's still loving. He's still merciful. He ain't cussed me out yet. He ain't pulled the trigger on me. He ain't talking about whacking me upside the head with a baseball bat. That brother's talking about he's praying for me. And I don't even get it.
Amen.
But God gets it.
Yes.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so because anybody can transform, verse 14, anybody can transform themselves into an angel of light.
Yes.
Anybody can do it. But they can't do it for a long period of time.
Nope.
Nature takes its course.
Mm-hmm.
They can only be a false whatever for a period of time.
Yeah, it's in a firm
and until we observe things over time, right? You should never emotionally invest in it until you've observed it and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I can finally say I trust it. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I can now trust it. And so when we get to that place, then we have a witness and not a witness anymore. We now know we're being led by God. We're being led of the Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit that you avoid the lust of the flesh. So I have to pray daily. I have to pray unceasingly. My wife and I, we are all day prayer warriors, not once a day prayer warriors. Because you're going to get hit. You're going to get attacked. You're not so special. In fact, maybe you are so special that the devil has to pay more attention to you than he does other people. But the point is, whatever is happening, there's a scripture in the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Satan never comes all at one time. That's a rarity.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in little ways, flat tire, late phone call to the job because I'm running behind and I need to call him. And by the time I call, it's past the time I should have got there. Satan, because I didn't get ahead of him and I didn't see it coming. I should have kept my money in my pocket, but I let somebody talk me into going here. And the next thing I know, I'm spending money because I'm all comfortable. And now I'm going home and I don't have what I need. Those little things, they begin to add up. Praise the Lord. Those little things begin to add up to the point that ultimately then Satan shows up with the big thing that sort of kind of puts the icing on the cake. And we're ready to snap.
Yep.
But if you, right, you know what I'm talking about, right? But if you begin to start praying over the little things, you start averting the bigger thing that's coming. because you've invited some God into it. Mm-hmm. It's just another situation, just like what Paul was going through. It was just another situation. Paul doesn't say what time. I asked God, why in the world was he putting me through this? Not in here. He never says, well, why in the God, why me? Why me? Why me? And that's the question that most people continuously ask God, why me? And God is trying to tell you, why not you? What makes you so special that rain shouldn't fall on your head?
Yes.
What makes you so special that your car shouldn't get a flat? What? Anybody hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. And so, amen.
And so Paul is just trying to encourage us, and I hope and pray that you all receive this. Paul is just trying to encourage us. You're going to go through some things. And if you're going to glory about anything, glory about what God brought you through and brought you out of. Glory about that. Make that your witness. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes, it's hard to deal with what I'm dealing with, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
Yes, it's difficult sometimes, but the Lord won't put on me more than I can bear. Oh, right now my wallet is empty. I open up my wallet, but there's a lot of space for God to bless me and put money into that wallet. I'm just waiting for the blessing to come. I'm waiting for my blessing to come because I know it's going to come. Because if he can keep Paul through all this mess, I know he can keep me through a broke moment.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He can keep me through a jobless moment. He can keep me through an argument in my house. He can keep me through it. And I know that he can. I've seen him do it before. So this is nothing new for God. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to open it up for conversation, for talk. What is anyone getting from this? And tell me what you received. I'll start with Brother Irby.
Well, what I'm taking is that basically to be grateful and to stay positive. You know, I think it comes down to like the energy that you carry. You know, it can affect people in a positive matter or negative. And then when you have God in your life, you know, the things that God done brought you through, nothing is too big for God. So, you know, we just got to continue to have faith in him and keep praising him. And I need to pray more. I know that. But like you said, that, you know, it's, you get attacked at any moment. And it can be your loved ones, the main ones, you know. So it is important to pray and pray often.
And I thank you for sharing that, Brother Tony. And not only,
sir.
I think that's a very important point that we just hit, that especially your loved ones, right?
Yeah.
Because you know how the Bible says, count it all joy when you enter into these diverse tribulations. Everybody know that scripture?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. The word tribulation is the actionable word lation and the prefix tribe. The actions that come out of your tribe. Tribulation. The actions from the tribe. And so Satan knows that we can handle 90% of what the people out in the world do.
Yes.
It's the people that's closest to us. So how do I deal with that? I need to be in prayer for my wife, for her children, for her work, for her company.
Yes.
I need to be fighting a spiritual battle for my family day in and day out.
Yes.
And so if I know I'm supposed to do that, then the only thing Satan can do to make me avoid doing it is keep me so selfish that all I think about is how they treat me. Did anybody receive anything out of that?
Yeah.
Say you did. Stay in the spirit. All I can do is think about, oh, she didn't make me dinner. All this didn't happen. All that didn't happen. Oh, I went to kiss her and she pushed me away. And so I get so caught up in self-centeredness, right? How it's feeling for me. I forget to go to battle because I'm walking around believing I'm the only one under the attack and never remember and don't even consider my family is under the attack.
Amen.
Anybody get that? Your family is under the attack. Why? Satan hates marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he hate marriage? Because the Bible says if any two touch and agree, I'll be in the midst. And if he can keep me and my wife out of agreement, he can sit right here at the dining room table with us.
Amen.
If me and my wife are in agreement, he gets cast out of this house.
Yes.
Satan does not want to be where agreement exists.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody hear that?
Yes.
It's a little tough for him. Because while you try to get me and her to argue, we're over here praying. And I don't know if you know it or not, but if you get two people praying, Satan is out of there. He can't stand that atmosphere.
Okay.
Yes.
If two people come together and you worship him, he can't stand that atmosphere. That's why your Bible says praise confuses the enemy. Hallelujah. And some of us don't praise him enough.
Yes.
Is that making sense? So thank you for that, brother. I'm going around the room. What did we get from tonight? Because I really want you to walk away with something. Stay in the spirit. Rise to the spirit of Christ because the Holy Ghost will teach you what you need out of what we're talking about. Because everybody doesn't have the same problems. But everybody does have a problem.
Yes,
you do. We all do.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Sister Walker, what did you get out of tonight?
A whole lot. Let me try to get in where I fit in. A whole lot. To say when it's all said and done, we have to have God first in our lives. We need to be submitted and grounded fully for ourselves, for our families, for the generations to come. Apostle Paul's ministry is very, very deep and very in depth on how we can conduct ourselves to do that walk. I've been in the book of Ephesians. Wow. That's all I can say is wow. I last night I was reading it and I was so sad that I had one more, a couple verses left. And I said, I'm just going to put that on hold for tomorrow because it was so good and I'm so sad that I didn't got through it, Because it's just that good. You know, we got to stay in our word. We need to we need to reach it no matter what. You know, there was a time back when my family came against, my own family in the household came against me because I was so into the word. And even my husband's like, you always in that Bible and da 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 da. And I was like, I sure am, and I'm going to get back in the practice. I don't care what you say. I gotta have him. I have to have God. I have to have him.
Yeah.
And so you just have to get to that point where people see you really, really serious about this thing, you know?
Yeah.
And like I love Dad had said, you know, we don't really know people until we've seen them in the bad times and in the moments and all that other stuff.
Right.
And it really, really made me look towards myself because what I walked through last year, honey, I got better. I got better when I walked into the fire. I was in the fire with gasoline and underwear on. I was in the fire. And it made me to be even better, even stronger, more loving, more thankful, more grateful, you know, more everything. So I just thank and praise God. So the word is just, I got to get to that point where it's like God or nothing. You got to do it.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Angela. Sister Tara, what are you receiving from tonight? What can you use from tonight's life study?
I want to say hi, Sister Tara. I love you, and I'm praying for you.
How you doing? Thank you, baby.
You're welcome.
I got from it. Prayer is needed daily. You got to pray all through the day. Not just in the morning, not just at night. And I'm going through my walk with God right now. I pray all through the day. And then you got to be in the spirit. You know, I'm finding out that sometimes when you're praying, your mind is not even there. You're just praying just to be praying. But now since my walk with God, what I'm going through, I feel prayer.
Hallelujah.
And then you know, and another thing, you both got to be in the spirit. You both got to be in the word. And I'm not just going to say that about husband and wife. It can be mom and daughter, mom and sister.
That's right.
But you got to be it both. You got to learn to get in it in the spirit of God. And if the other one is not there, or if you're not all the way there, you just keep praying that it gets better. I've got a lot caught up in this prayer. I'm praying for little bitty things now. Thank God, I can move my fingers. I can do this. I can do that. And when I spoke with you, Brother Monroe, I was telling you that I found myself praying. I felt it was a certain way you had to pray. But as I've been listening to stuff now on YouTube, it's not about that. Prayer is not for nobody to understand. Prayer is your relationship with Father God.
Good.
I don't got to worry about how I found it. It's no such way. It's how I found it, how I said it. If I'm praying to him, he and I both know. He understands it. Yes. That's what I found out of it.
Amen. As family members, we need to keep our house soaked in prayer.
Yes.
Soaked.
Yes.
Because and I know this may, you know, this may sound a little odd, but I think we all get it. There's spirits and demons running through your house every single day.
Yes.
You don't soak it in prayer. You're allowing them to do what they want to and run roughshod in your own house.
Yes.
You worship in your house, it'll permeate the walls.
Yes.
You'll feel it. The atmosphere starts to feeling clean.
Yes.
It starts to feel purer.
Come on,
yes.
Come on.
Which means you have authority over demons. But you have to take that authority, and that authority comes in your prayer, comes in your fasting, and it comes in your worship.
Yeah.
I don't care if you can sing or not. Singing is not the point with God. Worship is the point.
Yeah.
I can worship off key all day long, and God still hears it.
Yes, Amen.
That's who.
I don't even sound good. My worship might come out of, ooh, yeah, here you got. But he knows what my heart is saying.
All right, come on now.
And all of a sudden, demons start to tremble and I got to get out of this house because it don't feel good to me. You got to make demons uncomfortable.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God.
He didn't even come in
make
my house.
Make them uncomfortable.
Some people can't even come into my house. If I do not feel led, you can't come up in here. I mean that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's well said. I'm going to come right back to you. Hold on. I want to make sure we make this point. If you have folks in your house cussing and talking crazy and so forth and so on, you're letting those demons in your house. You're giving them permission. Cast that mess out. Hey, brother, you can come in, but if you got that language, I'm going to ask you to either exit it or quit it, because we don't do that in here.
No,
don't come in my house calling nobody the N-word. It ain't happening.
Brother Monroe,
it ain't happening up in here. Yes, ma'am.
So when you said you don't allow that up in your house, you're telling them to get out. What? Okay, so it's not, then you're going to start worrying about how they take it. But you don't worry for them, right? Because you're trying to please God, right?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. Because I think a lot of people would feel uncomfortable sometimes with going, well, you know what, you can't do that here. Right? Because the person may go, well, who do you think you are? Well, I'm the owner of the house. Let me try that part again. This is,
come on.
Look, it's your garden.
Okay.
That means it's up to you what you allow planted in it. It's your garden. For me, the moral value that you see in yourself, people will see it in you.
All right.
See, if I carry myself a certain way and I'm not sitting up here talking crazy in my own house, people catch that.
Okay.
My wife's kids come over to the house and they know mom and dad is about this. They don't come over here with insanity.
Okay.
We don't get that.
Because
they know we're not with that.
That's so beautiful. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes,
in fact, my wife just said, actually, they've learned when they have trouble to come over here so they can get some peace.
Okay.
They can get counsel. They don't come here to go, let's go. I can't, you know what I'm about? Ew. No, calm down.
He's over there.
I want to just say two things about, there are two types of value that I think we should be conscious of. I'm sure there's more than that, but I want to give you two specific types of value about yourself and your life. Can I do that? And I want you to write them down.
Yeah,
I want you to write this down, please.
Okay.
There's real value. I want you to write that down. Real value.
Okay.
Right? That's who I am.
Okay.
Right, all the gifts, as Sister Angela said earlier, my prophetic gifts, my gift of cooking, cleaning, all your gifts, value. They have value. But then it's the second part, perceived value.
Okay, perceived.
And that's what people see of you based upon what you've allowed them to see, or
all
what you allow them to accept.
Praise God.
So I'm this person, and you treat me like I'm that person, which means your perceived value of my value is off.
Okay.
Anybody get that?
Yes.
Your perceived value means that's the value coming from you toward me. And if you treat me a certain way, you're telling me your perceived value of me is way beneath the standard that I hold for myself. You got to go.
Be gone.
See ya. No. Have a great day. Love you with the love of Christ.
Want to be here?
Not here. That's not what this is for.
Nope.
But you have to have a personal value that you stand on at all times. Because people know the difference between real value and hypocrisy.
Okay.
You only like that when I come around. I'm like this because this is what God has made of me, and this is who I am. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm proud of who I am. I know that I can go to bed at night. I don't have any guilt issues. I got a clear conscience before my God. I got a clean heart before my God. I ain't sitting back trying to figure out how to cover up the lie I told because I didn't tell it. It's my value.
Come on.
And then their perceived value. And if those two things don't match up, we got a problem we need to fix fast.
All right. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And this is just as an example. If my wife comes through the door and goes, you know what? I just, you know, I'm paying all the bills, so forth and so on, and I know that I'm paying just as many as she is. Her perception of my value, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. We need to fix this. Mm-hmm. If I come in here talking about, well, somebody needs to do this and needs to, and she's already doing it, that doesn't match up.
Okay.
But if you're not, let me say this, but if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, that's how people get a bad perceived value, because you're not doing it.
Okay.
And so we end up making excuses for what we don't do. And I want to tell you that the Bible says God will leave you without an excuse. And so therefore, I don't come in my house with an excuse for why I can't pay a bill. There is no excuse for that.
Okay.
And I don't mean, I'm not trying to injure anybody. I'm not trying to defame anybody or make anybody feel bad. I'm just telling you the truth.
Oh, yeah, you're just telling the truth. That's what
we
want to hear.
When the garbage has to go out, there's no excuse for it not going out. Well, wait a minute. Baby, I got it. And if I don't have it, my wife steps right up and goes, hey, I'll take it out. I got it. Don't worry about it. You go sit down.
All right.
The two of us have to work together because we set the tonology of the house.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Come on, brother. My
you
brother,
set the tone of your house. And if you don't set the tone, then you go get somebody else's tune in your house.
Okay.
And if somebody comes in here and starts dictating how your house runs and what else, that ain't happening.
Anybody listening?
I'm saying, know that you have value, but also know that people have a perceived value of you. And if their perceived value doesn't match up with what you know your value is, something needs to be fixed immediately.
Okay.
My children have a great perceived value of me. They come in the house, they're mannerable. My youngest boy in the house, when he was growing up, he was a little rocky. But now he's picked up our values, and now I can go out and go to the gas station to get gas. And go, aren't you James's father? Yeah, I am. Man, that's the nicest kid in the world, because he picked up because he can see the value of what we've done. He's learned from it. He knows his actions create favor. And so he now knows how to walk in favor. Oh, glory to God. He now understands how to create his own favor. His actions are doing that. He knows that.
Yes.
Amen. Value versus perceived value. Shemayo, God bless you. Thank you for showing up. So value, and please write that down. You have value. Mm. Everything you do is valuable. You're cooking, cleaning, washing clothes, praise the Lord, praying, right? Cleaning the windows, sweeping the floor. All of it is valuable. That's a value.
Okay.
But if you're sweeping the floor and people are constantly dropping dirt on the floor, somebody's missing something in the perceived value. did that make some sense?
Yes.
If I'm constantly loading up the refrigerator with food, and I've got four people in the house, and every time I come in, the refrigerator's empty and nobody put any more food in, somebody's messed up on the perceived value part. I'm just supposed to supply. They don't know that they have to supply too. I got to fix that. Hallelujah.
Yes,
sir.
My phone is getting very low.
Your batteries?
Yeah.
It's that time. We get ready to pray out anyway, Dewan.
Right.
Thank you for sharing. So let me go. So Latif, what did you get out of tonight?
A lot too, because I did read, you know, that scripture about Paul. But I, you know, because I'm starting from the beginning of the Bible, I'm going through it. I already read New Testament, and I'm going through all of it again because I'm obviously picking up stuff that I missed
and I'm going to continue to do that to the day I die. But one of the big things is, you know, just hearing you guys talk about, you know, the spirits, you know, the people perceiving you, the values and stuff like that. And, you know, just understanding, you know, like when you're saying like the, one of the big things I've gotten in my mind is when I look at the physical world, I also am training myself to be like, there's also the spiritual world that I cannot see. I can feel it, but I can't see it, just like the wind. And so, you know, really, you know, getting down to the vigilance part and, you know, praying, you know, I pray over, you know, me and my wife and my family before we go to bed, because I know that we're vulnerable while we're sleeping. And I know that, you know, our souls are, you know, who we are in the inside that God created us, that that's not, our flesh is sleeping, but we're still, you know, internally awake. And I have to pray for that. I have to, there's demons running in and out of people's houses and all that other stuff. And I get that in my mind. And, you know, what spoke to me too, Pastor, is when you said, you know, you were like, you know, you could feel that clean, you can feel the cleanliness in the air, and you can. You know, because one of the big things I've been feeling, the more and more I dig deeper into the Bible, the more and more I pray, the more and more I rely on God, the more and more I see, you know, and you know, have his, you know, reverence, you know, upon me, I'm becoming more sensitive and I'm understanding now. And it's like, it kind of just like comes upon you on its own, the more and the more, you know, you dig deep, you know, into God, to the point where like, you could feel off around people and you're like, yeah, you got something on you. I'm straight. I don't need that. You know, when I'm at work, I'm around people that are cursing and stuff, and I'm really listening, and I'm from a distance. I'm just like, man, I used to do stuff like that. Like this is like people live, you know, like this is how, you know, people don't really realize, or they don't believe, because we're all predisposed in a society where we're not, we believe in ghosts and we believe in, you know, tarot card readers and stuff like that, but we don't believe in, you know, demons, and we don't believe in angels. We don't believe that there's, you know, a spiritual war going on. And that's the mentality where I'm, you know, we have to, you know, as, you know, the people in the body of Christ, to get to that, this is a war. I mean, we have to be vigilant. Like people, you know, World War I to World War II, they weren't just sitting around like, oh yeah, no, it's cool, we'll be fine tomorrow. No, they were ready 24/7, 365. Like, we have to be, because we're, because as the people in the body of Christ, we understand that there is, you know, demonic, you know, presence around us, and we have to be aware of that, and we have to fight that all the time. We have to keep up. You know, I had an analogy I gave my wife a few days ago. I drive a 6-speed manual, and I told her, I'm like, it's kind of like you got to get to the point where it's just second nature. Like when I'm driving, I'm shifting from first gear and I get all the way to 6th gear. I'm not thinking about the gears. I can just hear the vehicle, and I know what gear I need to be to keep it in the speed that I need to be in. And so it's just like one of those things that kind of, you know, really, you know, grasps, you know, my mind and stuff like that. And just because, man, when you let up, when you think everything's cool and stuff like that, or you don't read the Bible for a few days, or you just chill and all that, everything starts pouring in. You're giving them foothold every time. And they're not chilling. They're not waiting. They're scheming on you. They're monitoring you. They're watching you. They're listening to everything you say, everything you do. They're ready. They're jumping. They're like, yo, like they're waiting in the corner. Like, what'd you say? Oh, you said, oh, I got you. Oh, you ain't gonna read your Bible today? Here, let me start doing the little things. Like, you know, you guys were saying earlier, praying over little stuff, because it's the little stuff. Then, like you said earlier too, Pastor, it's that last hit, and it's the biggest one. And then it throws you over, and then now the demons are laughing, like, aha, we got you to fall. Now let's see if you can pick yourself back up. And another thing too, being in Christ too, is like, you know, when, especially when you're coming into Christ, you're learning, man, when you get knocked down, it's hard sometimes to stand back up. Because you just feel so like man, like, dang, like, ah, man, I know, I feel like the Lord's tired of me, keep, you know, falling all the time. And I didn't think but we have to also, too, is remember, you know, the righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up 7 times. I'm not shaking the Bible. And so we have to really get that point where, like, you know, you fall, get up. And they don't like that, because that's understanding that repetitious, you know, mindset, and that war mindset. And also putting on the armor for war. So that's what I got out of it.
Hallelujah. You got a lot. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe that's everyone. So we can close in prayers just after 7 o'clock. But I would say every morning when you get up, you should ask the Holy Ghost into your day. Holy Spirit, come into my day.
Okay.
Cleanse me from unrighteousness. Protect me from the enemy.
Okay.
Guide me and lead me. We should do that because the Holy Ghost is a perfect gentleman. You have a gift called dominion that God gave you at the very beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis in the first chapter in the 26th verse. When he made man, he said, let us give them dominion. Dominion means self-will. You are a free moral agent. And so the Holy Ghost cannot override that gift. He can't make you robotically love Jesus.
Mm.
He cannot make you do good. It is a choice. It's a conscious choice you make. No, I'm not doing that. All money ain't good money. That might look good, but I know I'm going to get burned. No, it's consciousness. It's an awareness that around every corner and in every alley, there's a spirit waiting to trick you out of your salvation and out of your destiny. Out of your salvation and out of your destiny. My wife has a really, really very, very good saying that she uses all the time. She says, hey, you may not be, delay doesn't mean denied. And what she means by that is that God is going to do what God said he's going to do. But the problem is, as long as we keep letting Satan run roughshod, he's delaying what God is going to do. Because God is not going to give to us and bless us when we're cussing others.
Okay.
If I'm a curse to my wife, why is God going to bless me?
Okay.
Why would he do that?
Yeah.
If I'm causing strife in my house, why is God going to bless me?
Yeah.
When he told me not to do that, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, even giving his very self for it. That means if I'm a man of God, it'd be different if I wasn't. But I am, and I'm claiming it. That means I better listen to that and do that.
Yeah.
My wife comes in, and she looks like she's not feeling good. Hey, baby, come on over here. Let's pray. Anything I can do, honey?
Yes.
You need some help?
Yes.
Not why you looking like that. Yeah, and she said, tell it like it is. My wife comes in and starts cooking dinner and everything else after a hard day. So, man, we have to sacrifice to be who we are supposed to be. It's a conscious choice to sacrifice. It's a conscious choice for me to bring money home and pay bills. It's not. It can't happen by accident. I can't be tricked into coming home and bringing a paycheck. I have to want to come home and bring my paycheck.
Amen.
I have to want my family to prosper. I got to want my wife to have a nice car and a decent life. And I got to want those things. And I got to make my mind up that nothing is more important than those things for her. And for me to be able to stand and be at the end of the day and say, I really am the head and not the tail. Because I'm taking care of her the way I should. And she takes care of herself and me. And you get two people on the same page about loving each other, caring for each other, and taking care of each other, man, the devil gets mad as heck.
All right, yeah.
Because he can't divide them. And that's the key to this. So as you go forward this week, go forward knowing that, as the Bible says, the two became one flesh, husband and wife. If I'm disappointed... If I'm disappointing my wife, I'm disappointing me too.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to let me know it. Just like if she disappoints me, I'm going to let her know it. Hey, you shouldn't have done that. You know, I'm going to let. But if we are encouragement to one another, oh, glory.
Yes, yes.
She's going to let me know it. And I'm going to let her know it. Does that make sense?
Yes. A lot of sense.
Yeah, so be those people. You have that power. You have that authority over the enemy. Bruise his head. Shake that joker up. And make your home like the kingdom of God, if you can. Make it like the kingdom of God. And do everything that should be done decent and in order. and you'll find your whole family will prosper from it. But as long as there's dissension and division in the house, Satan is sending spirits in the house. And that's what you have to recognize. If there's issues in my house, the issues is something that's got something to do with some spirit that's here that I am not willing to cast it out.
Amen.
I got to do the hard work. I got to do the hard work. My family deserves it. Now, I don't want my wife coming. I don't want my wife to go through a life that at the end of it, and I'm in a casket, and all she can think of is how to spit on them. I've seen that before in my lifetime. I've seen it.
Yes.
Spit on the husband. I'm so glad he's gone. Who wants that?
Nobody.
That's your legacy. Praise the Lord.
You start fixing those things.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
No, I was saying what you're saying is so good.
And it's true.
Needed to hear it.
Yep. You don't want that. No, you want somebody to actually say, I miss her or I miss him. Yeah. I had the best wife or the best husband in the world. Yeah. Oh, my God, I miss her.
Yeah.
Don't know how I'm going to make it without her.
That's it. That's it.
Not, I'm glad you're gone. In fact, I didn't even notice that he left. He died? Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that. That's a problem. Yeah, but I was saying no way.
Oh, wow. That's the truth.
I didn't even know he wasn't here.
Speaking number truth.
Right? Oh. Don't you want to be missed when you leave the room? Hallelujah. We can really close out in prayer. Duane, I know you got to go. So I'm going to close us out. Family, I love you with the love of Christ. Tell somebody tonight. Make sure you tell your wife, tell your children. I love you with the love of Christ. You can be angry at them and still love them. I love you with the love of Christ. I just want you to know that tonight before I go to bed, because I might not wake up, but that'll be the last thing you remember about me. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Make sure you have a good legacy.
Oh,
you deserve it. Father, we do thank you. We magnify you and glorify you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Master and our Savior, we thank you for a word and season. We thank you for a new season. We're going into 2026. We need to go in it to win it. We need to go in it to be the best that you can possibly make out of us. We're not going to make ourselves. We're going to let you remake us. We're going to cast aside everything that works against you. We're willing to put down and crucify everything that harms us when it comes down to you. We're willing to tell them spirits that's been in our house, you're going to have to leave right now. We're willing to tell some folks that's been counseled in the wrong way, don't counsel me no more. I don't want to hear. I don't need to hear that anymore. I'm going to get my counsel from the Lord, from whence cometh my help. I'm willing to turn. Father, we just thank you, because this is a season for us to move forward as a people, to move forward as families, to move forward as friends, to move forward with wholeness and holiness in the name of Jesus Christ. We just thank you tonight for all of the families. We thank you for Brother Latif and his family, his wife. We thank you for Brother Irby, his family and his wife. We thank you for Sister Walker, her family and her husband. And we just bless you for being God and all by yourself.
Yes.
Yes, amen.
And yes, Lord.
So we ask you in the name of Jesus. To help us to walk into this 2026 season renewed, rejuvenated, replenished with forgiveness for what took place the last year, what took place yesterday. Help us to let go of that mess so we can become a message. Help us to move towards our destiny so that our destiny is no longer delayed, because we already know it's not denied. And we thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Love you all with the love of Christ, and we'll see you again next week.
Yes.
Love you all.
All right.
Yes, love all of you.
God bless.
God bless you all.
Good night. Likewise. Praise God.
Bye.